Today on Real Radio.
Pastor, I've gone too deep. It's too dark. It's too nasty. Not for the Holy Spirit to handle by God's grace. When is the grace of God at work? Every time. Fill in the blank. Every time.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called Who Told You About the Grace of God, Part 4, continues a series called Who Told You? A lot of what we believe can be based on our personal feelings and past experiences. But how do these beliefs actually stack up to Scripture? Well, this series will help us discern the voices and opinions of our day from the truth of God's Word. In Part 1 of this lesson, we learned that grace reveals God's nature and character. God's grace is also sovereign, meaning that He knows in advance those who will receive Him. In Part 2, we discovered the importance of His grace because without grace, there's no forgiveness of our sins to bring us back to God. And in Part 3, we found out how to experience God's grace through God's divine revelation, interruption, and supernatural application. Now, in this lesson, Pastor Jack asks, when is the grace of God at work? Today, on day 2 of this lesson, Pastor Jack tells us that God's grace is at work every time we follow His instruction and receive His forgiveness. And God's grace is at work every time we humble ourselves and esteem, serve, and help to restore others back to God. And now, continuing his lesson called, Who Told You About the Grace of God, Part 4, here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
Paul had been used mightily by God. Watch this. A thorn in the flesh was given to me. You ought to mark the word thorn. It means stake. It's not a little rosebush thorn. That's kind of cute, right? Until you get it stuck in your finger. It's bad enough. But Paul would have been happy to have a rosebush thorn. That's not the word. The word in the Greek is a stake by which you would impale things with. This is a nasty stake. Paul said, because of the abundance of these revelations that God has given us, a stake. And the word in English is the Greek word for. A stake for the flesh has been given me. The word given is ordained, prescribed. And note this, that in this stake that has been prescribed for my flesh. This is remarkable verbiage. Paul is saying, God has a desire to use my life in such a way that it's going to be so awesome that I'll never be able to be used by God unless something happens. You cannot think, well, that's good for Paul, but not for me. Listen, to the level that God has given you. For Paul, for example, allow me to put it this way. Keep that verse on the screen. When Jesus said that what God has given you, you should invest it. He's given some 40, some 60, some 100-fold, right? If God has given you the ability to invest in his kingdom 40-fold, stop looking at the guy who's been called to invest 60 or 100-fold. Are you with me? If God gives you 40% or 40-fold ability to influence people at your work, to talk to your neighbors, you know what? You know what's required of you to be 100% faithful to the 44 or to the 40. What is it? Stop looking at something. Well, I'm not a Chuck Smith. I'm not a Billy Graham. I'm not a Charles Stanley. Of course you're not. Of course I'm not. We're not supposed to be. Here's the question. Did Billy Graham, we don't know. Only before Jesus will we know. Did Billy Graham fulfill the percentage of influence that God gave him to fulfill? We don't know. We're not supposed to know, but you're supposed to know for you, and I'm supposed to know for me. So listen to this. Paul is saying, for what God has given me to do, the only way for it to be done is if a stake was provided for my flesh, that my flesh would be impaled. My flesh, identity, pride, fame, fortune. Paul says, it's all got to die. We live in an age right now with social media that people spend, I don't know, how many hours of their day exalting themselves. Aren't I fantastic? Look at me. You know what? We need a stake. We need a stake to be placed in the internet. We need a stake to be placed in Facebook. We need a stake to be placed in whatever you want to call it. We need a stake to be placed in ministry. Maybe if this church and all churches were impaled with this stake sent by the Lord, maybe we could get done what God has called us to do instead of thinking of ourselves. Important stuff. A thorn in the flesh, for the flesh, was given to me. The word given is the Greek word to be prescribed as a doctor writes a prescription. The Holy Spirit wrote a prescription to the Apostle Paul. What is it? Kill the flesh. A messenger of Satan. That's an interesting word, messenger, eglios, because it's a word that means it can be either a demonic personality or, listen, a human personality under demonic influence. Either way, it ain't good. But Paul says, I'm not panicking. I'm being harassed by the forces of darkness in this real life now that I'm living. The origin could be Satan himself, or the origin could be Satan himself manifested through an antagonist, another person. For what reason? To buffet me. See the word buffet? That word buffet is bare-fisted. In the Greek, it means to bare-knuckle, to have bare knuckles. This is violent. A messenger has been sent to bare-knuckle me, lest I should be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. Remarkable. And he said to me, God, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Pause right there. For you to be used, for me to be used by God, are we willing to say, Lord, if need be, if you want to use me so powerfully to shake the gates of hell and to bless the halls of heaven, then you do what you need to do to keep me usable. Pastor Chuck Smith would always say, keep yourself usable. In other words, don't mess up. Keep yourself usable, untainted in this world. Is that dear to us? Do we want to be used by God to that level? I pray that prayer like this. I mean, I'm going to be honest with you, okay? Yes, Lord, to that. Yes. Gently, please, Lord. I have great faith at the beginning and not so much near the end of the prayer. Therefore, most gladly will I rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Verse 10, therefore I take pleasure in my infirmities, in reproaches. Really? If somebody unlikes you on Facebook, you go into a fit of depression. Not Paul. People hated him. And Paul just said, wait, I just need to know something. Why do you hate me? Because you preach Jesus Christ resurrected from the dead. And Paul would say, hallelujah. Hate me all you want to. Listen, when Christ is your foundation, you're resilient. The proverbial water off the duck's back. What are they saying about you? How is it that they're mocking you? Is it for Christ's sake? Then let them mock. Just make sure it's for Jesus' sake. If you're a knucklehead, then they're probably justified in doing it. But in needs, can you imagine? Thank you, God. Like George Mueller. God, thank you. God had all of his orphans gathered around at the table. No food to eat. They sit down. Mr. Mueller, Papa Mueller, there's no food on the table. And Mueller said, let's thank God for the food that he's going to provide. There was no food. They had no food in that orphanage. You ought to read the story. Dear God, we thank you for the food that we're about to partake. While he was praying, there's a knock at the door. And just outside that orphanage there, a milk truck going one way down the street broke a wheel. And a cart going up the other side of the street, heading to a bakery, broke a wheel. Can you imagine that angel? Breaking wheels. On that. And that's the way I see it anyway. Maybe it didn't happen that way, but hey, if an angel can pull the wheels off of Pharaoh's chariot, he can pull the wheels off a milk cart and a dairy cart. And there was a knock at the door, and Mr. Mueller, the milk is going to spoil, and these bakery goods can't make it in time before they go hard. Can you use this? And the kids ate like kings that morning for breakfast, and they drank milk for breakfast. Listen, can we do that in advance? Does God, do you understand God's grace loves you that much? You're his child. He's going to see you through to the end. In needs, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then I am strong. Hallelujah. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, this is the grace of God at work even when. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 22. I'm reading this verse out of the New Living Translation because it sounds really cool. Are they Hebrews, says the apostle, because he's been under attack by those questioning him. So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they descendants of Abraham? So am I. Are they servants of Christ? I know I sound like a madman, but I have served him far more. I have worked harder, been put in prison more often, been whipped times without number, faced death again and again 5 times. The Jewish leaders gave me 39 lashes. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 I was shipwrecked. 1 I spent a whole night and a day adrift at sea. That would freak me out just there. I have traveled on many long journeys. I have faced danger from rivers and from robbers. I have faced dangers from my own people, the Jews, as well as from the Gentiles. I have faced danger in the cities, in the deserts, and on the seas. I have faced danger from men who claim to be believers but are not. You ever experienced that? I have worked hard and long, enduring many sleepless nights. I know what that's like. I have been hungry and thirsty, and I have often gone without food. I have shivered in the cold and without enough clothing to keep me warm. Then, besides all this, I have the daily burden of my concern for all the churches. Is that awesome? His amazing, incredible grace. But you might say, I might say, but God, why is this happening to me? Are you ready for the answer? Clearly, God is saying to us through the Apostle Paul and his calling and ministry, Jack, I want to use you. Fill in your name. Susie, Mike, Betty, I want to use you. The Holy Spirit in you is screaming inside of you, let's be used by God. And the amazing thing is, God says, I can only use those who have been humbled by me. That's why Paul could say, you know what? All of this pain and suffering and sorrow, I gladly embrace it because being used by God for 1 hour transcends all of that struggle. Remarkable. Awesome. James chapter 4, verse 6 says, but he gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. This is God's desire. Listen, God's grace is abounding in your life. God's not going to give up on you, even when. In Phoenix, Arizona, there's a plumber driving around there with a truck. It's got this motto labeling on the truck. Listen to this. Reminded me of the grace of God. There is no place too deep, too dark, are too dirty for us to handle. That's God. That's a great definition for God's grace toward you. Pastor, I've gone too deep. It's too dark. It's too nasty. Not for the Holy Spirit to handle by God's grace. Not in your life. Secondly, when is the grace of God at work? We can say it this way. Every time, fill in the blank. Every time. You and I can be dependent upon God's grace and that he's going to work. Not just to mention the word time as in every time, like sometimes, but at all times, every time. Every time God's grace is at work, listen, I jotted these down in my life and maybe it means something to you. I've concluded that every time God's grace is at work, when you and I decide to esteem others more highly than ourselves, isn't that an obedience to the Lord? Listen, Christian, now is the hour for us to shine in this self-centered, crazy world we live in, is to lift up others. The Bible says if we love somebody, we have to esteem them more highly than ourselves. This is God's grace at work. Watch, when Jack's at work, it's Jack first. If it's Jack in control, I want the closest parking spot to the... Are you with me? Listen, if you're going to go to the mall or wherever, and you need a parking space. Have you noticed? I don't know if any of us, including myself, have ever prayed, dear Lord, if my enemy is somewhere here in this parking lot and I don't know it, give them the best parking spot possible. And Lord, because I'm your child, make my parking spot further away so I have to walk the furthest. We don't pray that prayer. We pull in the parking lot. In fact, here's what we do. We've got a little thing going on. We'll take our granddaughter with us or our grandson with us. And we pull in the parking lot and we'll say, ask the Lord for a parking spot. I mean, they're like our little rabbit's foot. Just rub them on the head and say, ask the Lord for a parking spot. I mean, they're so cute and all that stuff. We seem to get one every time up front. Listen, that's not esteeming others more highly than ourselves. That's esteeming me worthy of the closer parking spot. And God says, not going to do that. Listen, it's God's grace that says, you know what? I'll yield to you being promoted. I'll yield to you to receive the accolade, or I'll yield to you. That's putting ourselves behind. You can't do that but without the grace of God. Secondly, when you and I decide to serve other people. Pastor Morgan had you guys greet one another, and then last Wednesday night, and then today, I had you greet somebody else. Why? Because I've got a little sinister motive going on. I want you to start meeting the people around you, seeing how y'all sit around each other all the time every week. Yeah, but you don't know each other's names. You got to start knowing their names. And then in the next few weeks, I'm going to say, now watch, this will clear the church out. Nobody will come back. Start getting their names. Start getting their phone number. Connect with them. Oh, just wait. In about a month or two, then I want to say, now invite them to go out to breakfast or lunch with you. You say, man, that's just too much. That's just too much. Might I remind you, as I said earlier, you're going to be in heaven with them? And you say, what if I go to lunch with them? I find out that they're not going to be in heaven. Then you have a ministry. You have a ministry opportunity to invite them to heaven. How about that one? It's a win-win for us. Every time, in every situation, always God is wanting to manifest his grace in our lives. And then you and I, every time we let God's grace precede our lives, we'll be devoted to restoring other people. In restoration, the Christian life is a life that restores other people. This is important. Now, granted, in restoration, there's to be the things that are followed by the person that is being restored. There needs to be repentance and contrition, of course. But when that is expressed, we as a believer or as a church are to restore people. It's not normal for our humanity, but God's grace prevails. There's a special place, I believe, that's why it's often difficult, where God's grace is manifested in a particular way. And I think it's never best seen than when a church is not only in action, but when a church gathers. Look, I understand very well in this modern age that you could have stayed home and not tuned in on the internet. That's not church. Ladies and gentlemen, listen, unless there's no Bible teaching facility ministry in your area, then I understand going online and having teaching. But do you understand? Look, we do that. We broadcast, we stream. But have you noticed, you've noticed, that I was so convicted that we cut streaming off in a local area because God convicted me. The Bible says in the last days in Hebrews chapter 10, beginning there at verse 25, that in the last days many will stop gathering together as a church. But he said, but you, as you see the day approaching, don't do that. And I was convicted. And I got together with the tech people and I said, you got to get that cone of silence from Get Smart. You got to get that cone of silence and somehow technology-wise drape it over those who could come to church but don't. Well, we're just going to stream. It never works. If you're watching me now. No, if you're watching me now, then you're far enough away. But if you notice the phone rings, the dog throws up, Satan's knocking at your door, you may be sitting in bed or laying there with your donut and your coffee, but that ain't church. It's cool, it's comfortable, but it's not church. It's the same difference as signing on to some college online course. Listen, you know what church is? Church is what you're having to do here. You're having to deal with the person's perfume or cologne next to you. That's church. Someone stumbles, you help, you pick them up. Someone's looking for coffee or for cookies in the courtyard, you point them in the direction. Someone backs out, they parked the wrong way, they should have parked different. You don't give them a lecture about it. Everybody knows you're supposed to back in around here so you can get out and get to the beach. I had somebody tell me, everybody backs into their parking spots here. Is this church full of cops? It's church, but it's difficult. Just wait, it's going to get worse. We're going to blow the sanctuary up. We're moving into a tent soon. It's going to get much worse. What does that mean? It means, listen, we need to dig down deep and grab some love. We got to pull it up. We got to reach in and pull up some patience. I'll be back after the construction's all done. Okay. While the rest of us grow. Because we've got to rub shoulders. We've got to get along. We've got to love on each other. And it's going to be tough. It's going to be wonderful. Listen, that's awesome. These people think it's going to be wonderful over here. So, no, it's going to be good. It's going to be good. Every time. The Bible tells us in Romans 13, verse 11, and do this, knowing the time, that now it is high time, not Miller time, high time, to awake out of sleep, for now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night, listen to this, the night is far spent. Don't you feel it? The night is far spent. This world is almost about as dark as it can go before the Lord calls the church out of here. I can't wait. The day is at hand. I hope it's today. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry or drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in the internet. Think about that. 80 billion dollar a year industry, the pornography world is. God says, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision, no opportunity, no inroads for the flesh to fulfill its lust. Wow, marching orders to the soldier of God. God's grace, unearnable favor, remember his divine affection at work in your life. It's the only way that you and I can experience true Christian victory is God's grace going ahead of us, always going ahead of us. Today, God's grace will go ahead of you. Christian, never, if you forget everything else, don't forget this. As you leave this building, God's grace is going ahead of you. Expect that. Be expectant about that.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called Who Told You About the Grace of God, Part 4. Thanks for listening. God's grace is the forerunner of all of God's blessings, and our hope is that you allow it to sustain you no matter what comes your way. Who Told You About the Grace of God, Part 4, is part of Pastor Jack's series called Who Told You? A series that gives us the truth about heaven, salvation, God's goodness and grace, as well as his plan for our lives. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. Hey, did you know that Pastor Jack has a recommended book of the month every month? Specially selected books handpicked by Pastor Jack. And this month's book of the month is called Politics According to the Bible, written by Dr. Wayne Grudem. Now, this book was a major inspiration for Pastor Jack's Worldview series. Join the many Real Radio listeners who read the Book of the Month every month by going to reallifewithjackhibbs.org and then click the Home tab. That's Pastor Jack's Book of the Month, and that's at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Check it out right away. You know, a lot of our Real Radio listeners like to take their walk a little bit deeper. And one of the best ways you can do that is to get the special devotions from Pastor Jack once a week. If you sign up for the devotional newsletter, you can get his devotions sent straight to your email. So it makes it convenient. You don't have to have any reminders or anything like that. Or even better, why don't you download the Real Life with Jack Hibbs app for your smartphone or tablet and access the devotions right there. Make Pastor Jack's devotions a part of your week by going to reallifewithjackhibbs.org. And then click right there on the Devotions tab. Get the real-life devotions from Pastor Jack and take your walk with God to an even deeper level. Hey, did you know that if you miss any episode of Real Life with Jack Hibbs, it's real easy to catch up. We've got you taken care of. There are so many ways to catch up. You can visit our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. You can download the Real Life app for your smartphone or tablet, or you can visit Pastor Jack's YouTube channel. Just put Pastor Jack Hibbs in a YouTube search. By the way, next time you're on YouTube, why don't you set up your notifications to let you know when Pastor Jack has put something new up on YouTube? Wouldn't that be great? Just go to YouTube and look up Real Life with Jack Hibbs. The study of Bible prophecy has often been misrepresented, which has led to widespread confusion. Now, in an effort to bring some understanding and reason to this important subject, Pastor Jack Hibbs and his special guests examine God's prophetic word in the light of world events. Now, these special messages also include Q&A sessions where perhaps questions you may have are addressed. Now more than ever, we need to have a safe and well-grounded understanding of God's word in these seemingly unstable times. Get your copy of Happening Now, Volume 1 on DVD today. You'll find it at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Hey, here's our phone number if you should need it. It's 877-RR-RADIO. That's a toll-free phone call. 877-777-2346. Also, here's the address. Jot this one down. P.O. Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.